Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to finish up this series on walking circumspectly. Walking with the spiritual eyes to know what's going on around you, the times in which we live. Hopefully you know about the dangers and the snares, because you know there's the bird catcher out there, right? I get the picture that he looks like the guy on Chitty Chitty Bang Bang that used to capture the kids. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? All right. That gave me nightmares. So I'm grateful that you don't know what he looks like. Some of you do, but we are in verses 15 through 17 of chapter number 5 of Ephesians. And again, we've looked at the foundation, and Paul always lays foundation, doctrinal foundation, before he moves on to practical application. Here's what he does. He says, you need to know what you believe and why you believe it. Then this is how you live this. And so living it has been brought out in chapters 4 and 5 by the word walk. Living your outward life and the conduct of your life and how you behave. This is confirmed and coordinates very, very well with what John says in 1 John 3, what we looked at in Sunday school, about the pattern of righteousness versus the pattern of sin and practicing those things. And so Paul is telling us how to practice righteousness and what it looks like. What it looks like to please God and have a walk that pleases God. How to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. How to follow God, be followers of God, as he says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. And we are into this aspect because, does everybody remember the walks that we have looked at? Chapter 4, verse 1. Does everyone remember that walk? Worthy of the vocation wherewith you've been called. Then, in chapter 4, verses 17 through the end of the chapter, it was walk in sanctification. Does everyone remember that one? Put off, be renewed, put on. And then there was chapter 5, walk in love, verse number 2. Then in chapter 5, starting in verse number 8, it was walk as children of light. And now we are walking circumspectly in this world. And you and I know that we live in this evil world. And so we understand the times in which we live, according to Paul that he wrote to Timothy, who just so happens to be the pastor at Ephesus, that he says to him, in the last days, in the latter times, perilous times shall come. Can I suggest to you that we have reached those times? I mean, if you look at it, and there's one characteristic, because, you know, as you look at the world and the history of the world, there's been a lot of those things around. But we know as we get to the end times, the birth pangs are going to hit. These events are going to get more rapid and they're going to become more intense. So demonic activity will increase. But there's one thing in there he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says this, disobedient to parents. We have never seen in the history of our world disobedient to parents like we see it today. It's just amazing. When you have a family that where their children honor mom and dad, it's a very rare thing in our culture and our society. And that is not just in the United States. That's in Europe. That is even, you wouldn't think this, I wouldn't have thought this, but it's starting to transfer into the Orient, into Japan, into China, where this mindset of disobeying, dishonoring parents is flowing in. So it's becoming a nasty thing. And in our culture, we just see the backlash of it. By the way, I'll just give you a little side note, so let me step out of the pulpit. It's confirmed in Scripture. I believe we're, as the United States, we're on the end of the blessings. What do I mean by that? That God has flooded our land, and because we were so gospel-oriented and mission-oriented, and God has filled this land with blessings, that we are living off those from the past. And I recognize every liberty and every freedom we have comes from the hand of God. Our land flowed with milk and honey, and I'm not saying we're Israel, so don't misunderstand me. But this was a land that was blessed because of God. Not because of the land, but because of our God. And when we cease to worship God and we kick God out of government, out of schools, out of families, out of marriages, we're going to reap. It just takes a little time for the trickle down. So we are living off that thing. But I'll tell you what, in that kind of atmosphere, I need this all the more. I need to do what he says in verses 15 through 17. See then that ye walk circumspectly. Why? Because we live in a dark time, and that's the context. That there is spiritual darkness out there. There's wickedness and spiritual wickedness that goes on. And he gave this back there. And he tells us that we shouldn't have any fellowship with those unfruitful works of darkness. We should rather reprove them by our life and by our lips. And then he gives this invitation in verse number 14. And then he says this, see then, based on being the children of light, walking as light, now walk circumspectly, understanding and being aware of what's going on around you. And he says, number one, in walking circumspectly, don't walk as fools. And again, we went over what that meant. We looked at the Hebrew word for fools, and we looked at the characteristic of fools. And then we looked at the issue of number two, walking wisely. That to walk circumspectly means we walk wisely. And we looked at the whole issue of what does it mean to walk wisely and for God's wisdom, wisdom that descends from above. And then number three, we looked at last week, we redeem the time. Verse number 16, why do we redeem the time? So redeeming the time means you're buying it up. You're making the most of every opportunity that God gives you. Let me tell you, if you're going to make the most, you better have wisdom. You not only need to have wisdom, but verse 17 comes into play, and this is the fourth way that we walk circumspectly, or fourth aspect of walking circumspectly. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Let me say at the outset of this, because this is knowing and doing the will of God, if you're looking for a title for the message. Knowing and doing the will of God. The will of God is not a mystery. God wants you to know His will. The problem and why we miss it is because we're not doing the revealed will of God right now. So we miss and we're off shooting. And God has not set His will as being a very mysterious thing. It's very straightforward and out there. We just need to make sure that we're doing the will of God right now. And we'll get into that tonight. But tonight I want us to just focus on that one. Knowing and doing the will of God. Let me put it another way. I think we need to embrace the will of God and then do it. We should know it, embrace it, and do it. And I'm grateful that's as complicated as it's going to get tonight. It's very simple. But I find this is probably one of the hardest things that we do because the simple things that God tells us to do and commands us to do, which are His clear will, become some of the hardest things for us to do. And what I found is that it's just hard to stay faithful. No wonder that's the number one characteristic of a steward, is to stay faithful. In our day and age, with walking circumspectly, staying faithful in the will of God is absolutely key. But it's amazing to me how we often allow little things to shoot us off and veer us from the clear will of God. We allow people to rob our joy. We allow people to misdirect us and be used of the devil. And again, every one of us are susceptible to this. And we need to get back to these things. And so to redeem the time, I must truly understand the will of the Lord. And I have to set my mind and heart, whatever God's will is, I'm going to do it. Can I ask you, will you do that? Don't answer me. I just want you to think in your own heart. If whatever you see, because I believe God is going to point on some of the things tonight, and He's going to knock on your door, the question is, will you say, Lord, whatever you tell me to do, I will do. I want to do the will of God. I hope that's your heart. I hope that's your demeanor and your disposition. I'll say it this way. I hope it's your spirit, that you want the will of God. I don't want to know the will of God so I can peruse it and evaluate it and say, do I really want to do that? No, there's some precursor things that's got to go into your life. And so God in this verse, so let's read these, verses 15 through 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That should be the normal way you live, by the way. You should be wise ones. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise. And that's a very interesting word, unwise. This is the Greek equivalent to kasil. Do you remember what I said about kasil? That's the stupid fool. This is the stupid, unwise person. So he's telling you in this verse, be ye not stupid. That's basically, notice, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And Paul says this as a command. So I should be understanding and knowing what the will of God is. So I want to ask you tonight as we begin, do you know what the will of God is for you right now? Every one of you should know. If you wake, all right, so let me just really quickly go through this. You wake up tomorrow, what's the will of God for you? Let's start there. No, not what's the will of God for the day. What's the first thing you should do with the will of God? Pray and get up. Should you ever get in the Word? After you get up, after you crawl over to your chair, because my back and hip are out. Again, then what? What's the will of God for you tomorrow? Do some of you got to go to work? Do some of you go to work even though you don't have to go to work? But again, as you go to work, do you know what the will of God is at work? To honor Him? Whatever your hand finds to do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Don't do men eye service, but do you go to Ephesians chapter number 6, verses 4, 5, 6. You'll find what the will of God is on as you work. Should you be looking for opportunities to tell anybody about Jesus Christ? Is it the will of God, if God brings someone your way, that you should tell them about Jesus Christ? Is it the will of God that if you have opportunity, you should be handing out tracts? Is it the will of God that throughout your day you should be praying? Throughout your day, is it the will of God that you should be doing what is right and good in God's eyes rather than what is fleshly and sinful? So what you're all telling me is you all know the will of God. Every single day of your life, you know this. You don't have to worry about down the road. Because here's what I've discovered. As I walk in God's will now, He'll get me to where He needs to be. Because it's God that wants you there more than you want to be there. And so as you don't have to worry and become fretful about missing the will of God. But you have to stay in the will of God here. The safest place you can ever be is in the center of the will of God. Do you know you're the most safest in the center of the will of God? You know what your flesh will tell you and the world will tell you? Oh, no, don't do that. If it's the will of God for you to go into ministry, to become a pastor, then don't worry about money. Do you know how many moms and dads would say their kids, don't go into ministry? You're going to be poor. Well, if you're just thinking carnally, yes. But let me ask you, if that man follows the ministry and goes in, will he be eternally rich? You need different eyes to see that. You need to say, as a parent, I'm committed to the will of God. I want the will of God for my children, not my will. And again, these are practical things that we need to think about for grandkids. I'm praying my grandkids will follow the will of God. And I want to influence them as much as I can in that. So notice the two things Paul says in verse number 17 about these admonitions to the will of God. Number one, don't be unwise with the will of God. Don't be unwise. That's a word that means stupidity. It describes someone that lacks sense. That was interesting that several commentators brought up what Benjamin... Your common sense wet? I don't know if it was ever here. I don't know if we ever had. I think there was more sense back when we didn't have all the electronic devices. I think when we had to manually labor, we had a lot more sense. And I'm not minimizing the fact of the electronic devices. They're helpful, but they become very dangerous for us. And we got to be wise with them. It's one that it is to lack the right perspective because you don't grasp the situation. that they're doing this. They're unwise because they don't understand that if you do certain things, there's going to be consequences to them. And they look at you like, why did this happen? Because you were alpha moron. Does everyone get the word in there? There's a moron. What does that mean? God told you you reap what you sow. Yes or no? Do you know there's a physical law that proves that? Does everyone know what it is? For every action, equal and opposite reaction. So if you put it out, it's coming back. Do you know it was called by Pastor Pirate the law of the boomerang? You know what modern people call it? Karma. I'll just say this. It's the law of sowing and reaping. This unwise person does not get it. And I'm shocked. And I don't know why I'm shocked, but I stand there flabbergasted that people don't understand consequences. That's because I guess we live in an insane society. We're doing the same things and expecting different results. I'll give you one illustration. Socialism doesn't work. But we're going to be different because we're in the United States of America. Yeah, you're a soft moron. Let me move on. So notice number two about this. We need to understand what the will of the Lord is. And that is the issue that we need to know it, embrace it, and do it. And I'm so thankful that God's will is not complicated. And He made it so. I didn't say it was easy. And there are times where it's going to be more difficult because you know what happens with the will of God? You're going to have to trust Him. Do you know how many times the only thing you have to trust is what He said? There are several that are going through that right now. I can understand if you had to rely upon me with that, but you don't. You have to rely upon someone who has an impeccable track record. That you can trust Him. So He wants me to know His will. I can understand it because I have the spiritual mind. If I'm taught of the Spirit, then I can know these things. I can know the things that are freely given to me, and the will of God is freely given to me by the Holy Spirit of God, and I can know it. And what I don't know, I can pray, and the Holy Spirit will pray according to the will of God. Do you all know that one? Romans 8 says He will. You don't know what to pray for. Don't worry, the Holy Spirit does. So even when you don't know, you've got someone who's going to intercede for you according to the will of God. I like that. That's called triple assurance, man. It's a win, 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 win. Each one of you are winners tonight. You won the $1,000 pyramid. What does it mean to say the will of the Lord? Because that's what he says in verse 17. The will of the Lord. Again, it's a will of God. Let me give you a simple definition to take into your mind and your heart. The will of the Lord is God's word. That's His will. The will of the Lord is God's choice. Whatever God wants, that's what I want. So let me ask you, are you committed to doing what God told you to do from His word? Whatever God wants, do you want that? I can't answer that for your life, because the right answer we all know is yes. But that doesn't mean you're necessarily doing that in your life. It means God's pleasure in any given situation. So what that means is this. In any given situation that I go into, I want God to be pleased with how I act, live, and behave. Now, question, is that what you want? Is in any given situation, I want God to be pleased with me? So my focus is going to always be Godward. If I'm focused Godward, believe me, you will follow the will of God. But when you make it about you rather than Him, you've shifted. And you have to understand you're off center and your wheel's going to get flat. It's going to bend the rim. And your life is going to become problematic. So how would God have you live walk in this present evil world? Do you remember last week I brought up these different opportunities that God gives to each of us? I want you to look at them again, because what would God have you choose and would please God with these opportunities? So let me bring them up to you. Prayer time. What would please God? You're given an opportunity to pray. And you're given an opportunity to go to prayer, and you can, but you also have an option to go and do something else. What would please God? You have an opportunity to go to a prayer meeting. Or you have an opportunity to stay home, rest. You have an opportunity to go shopping. You have an opportunity to be with family. You have opportunity for this. You have opportunity for that. Here's a question you have to ask. And you got to learn this. You all ready for this? Good, better, best. Sometimes the good choice is in problematic with the best choice. Sometimes it hurts the best when you choose that which is good. Is family good? So you're going to have, and I'm saying all the time? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that if you're considering it and you're giving that opportunity, you need to make a choice on what would be pleasing to my master and my God. Here's another one. Soul winning. Handing out tracts. God gives you an opportunity. You should. It's the will of God for you to do it. But how many times do you do something other than do that? And it's not bad what you did. You just didn't choose to do that. Here's another one with the will of God. Fellowship. God has given us opportunities to fellowship. And people don't want it. I just want to be alone. I'm tired. I don't want to be around people. Blah, 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 blah. The fact of the matter is God commands us to fellowship. Yes or no? So he gives us opportunity and we don't take it. Well, did you choose what God wanted? Were you really committed to the will of God? Here's another one we looked at last week. Exhortation. You can either come to church and be a person that wants to get, or you can come to church, because remember, church is to give. Give what? Give glory to our Savior and King. It's to give exhortation to the people around you. Here's what will happen, is if you come to give, God will give to you. If you come and all you want to do is sit and just take, you are missing the whole point. That's not the will of God for church. Do you all understand that? That's confirmed in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 down through 16. This confirmed many other places. How about this one? Exercising your spiritual gifts. God, what would be pleasing to God for you in exercising your spiritual gifts? Here's another one. Serving. Doing service. Where God would have you do service. Investing in missions. I want you to think about this one. I've challenged about going on a missions trip. You have time, you have the finances, and you have the opportunity. But because it's going to appear to you that it's going to tax you too much, you'd rather just take it easy and stay home. God presented an opportunity, and you say, I don't want it. You know, God's okay with saying, I'll take it back. The problem is, you and I miss it. All that God could have done with those things. And we miss the opportunity that he gave us. And I'm not saying yay or nay for any of you. All I am saying is, you've got to be aware of walking circumspectly, that I have to embrace and understand the will of God, and I have to do that will. I can sit here all night and stand here all night and say, I love the will of God, but if I won't do the will of God, embrace the will of God, I'm a liar. Here, how about this one? Giving. Giving thanks and praise. Encouraging. And we go on and on and on. So let me illustrate this. We are living in the last days. What is God's will for us at this time? And I'm just going to take the text we used last week, okay? You can write these down. If you don't have them, you can go back and watch. Do you remember Matthew 24, verses 42 through 46 last week? None of you remember that, but that's okay. Here's what it talks about. It talks about, if you know the Lord's coming, and that's, again, after the tribulation, and we know the rapture's coming, correct? Hopefully you all know the catching away is going to come. I will tell you, if we are aware of that we will be watching. That we will be ready when he appears. And we will be faithfully serving. That's the will of God. If I'm looking for His coming, if I know the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, then that's how I'm going to live my life. If you're not doing that, you have not embraced the will of God. Now, here's what the great side is. If you have and you are, you should take all the encouragement of the world tonight and let it confirm you are moving in the right direction step by step. Does everyone remember Romans 13? Time to wake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we believed. So here's what he tells us to do there. The will of the Lord in that text is that we cast off the works of darkness, we put on the armor of God, and we walk in the Spirit, not the flesh. That's the will of God in Romans chapter 13, in the last days. How about 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11? The will of the Lord, it's simple in that. You say, that's a lot of verses, but here's the simplification. It is the will of the Lord that we be sober-minded and we edify one another. That's verse 11. That's the will of God, for you to edify each other, to build up each other. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Everyone know that? Not forsaking ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The will of the Lord is there is that we assemble more and more. I shouldn't want less and less church. I should want more and more. Why? Because that's where the believers are. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ centers in a community, is within His local church. Why would I not want to be there? If that's where God is, why would I not want to be there? If I don't want to be where God is, there is a serious problem in my spiritual life. You can look at church and get carnal and say, well, whatever, I don't get much out of it anyways. Warning Will Robinson for you. But the issue, he tells us, is not only assemble more and more, but we should be exhorting one another, and so much the more. The way you have to understand that as you see the day approaching, that's the will of God. That's not Pastor Conley's will. That's not First Baptist Church's will. That's God's will. Then there was 2 Peter chapter number 3, verses 3 through 9. Remember verse 9? The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should what? So the will of God in those verses is this, is that we don't be ignorant about the Lord's return. And we don't be ignorant about the Lord's judgment. The Lord is not slack concerning His judgment of promise of judgment. And that we try to lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will bring them to repentance, but we have to bring the message of the gospel to them. If you read 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 14, here's what it says. The will of the Lord is that we live a holy and godly life, looking for and anticipating the Lord's return. That's the will of God for us right now. Do you know the day of the Lord is at hand? Does everyone know that? If it is, then this is how I will live. This is the will of God. And then in 1 John 2, verses 28 and 29, the will of the Lord is that you, number one, abide in Him. And then you know what the second aspect of that is? Do righteousness. That's what it says. Everyone that is born of Him doeth righteousness. If you abide in Him, you will not be ashamed before Him at His coming, it says. And so that's what this is. That's how you look at it and say, it's that simple to do the will of God, to know the will of God. And again, I didn't say it was easy to do the will of God. I just ran through 10 passages and just rapid-fired them to you. That's easy to do. And you all know that that's hard to live that. But here's what I love about our Heavenly Father. Is He's giving everything you need to live it. You know, there may be some issues in your life with the will of God, in embracing the will of God. Do you know right now it's the will of God that you be not overcome with evil, with sin? Do you know what you should be doing with the sin in your life? You should be overcoming it by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you all know that? You should be living in victory. Why? Because God said you should. It's the will of God for you life to walk out here in victory. That if you have any conquer thing that's conquering you, that you would allow God to conquer it in you and you walk out of here a victor, rather than someone who's been beat up by the devil and sin. Let me give you several considerations about God's will that you need to incorporate in your daily life. Some point, this wisdom is going to need to discern the will of the Lord's will. You're going to have to discern it. And all of them begin with C. You all ready for them? You might want these at some point, like in the next week, you're going to need to know the will of God. And these are 10 or 11 considerations for you. And I'm just going to rapid fire them. Number one, you need, when you're going to determine the will of God on anything, you need to consider the Word of God. You need to go find out what the Bible says about that. You need to understand, if you're going to buy a car, you should seek the Bible on that. If you're going to buy a house, you should seek the Bible on that. Do you all know that? If you're going to enter into any relationship, you should seek the Bible on that. Do you know the Bible has a lot to say about your finances and about going into debt? Does everyone know that? You should consider what God says about these. If you're going to get into a romantic relationship with someone, you better seek the Word of God on that. So, again, I need to consider the Word of God. Number two, I need to, before I ever am going to figure out the will of God, I better have complete consecration and surrender to the Lord. Before anything, you need to come to the determination that, Lord, I'm surrendered to you. I'm completely surrendered. Whatever you want, that's what I want. And you need to determine that in your own heart and life. Because remember, God wants you to know that. You can't be saying, well, I just want to know just in case I may not want to do it. That's the wrong attitude. But you've got to be consecrated to the Lord. God calls us to full commitment to Him, yes or no? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you what? Present your bodies a holy acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. So if we are only looking for guidance in one area and we're disregarding God's will in the rest of our lives, then we're missing it. You have to be open to whatever God wants. So let me ask you, are you surrendered and consecrated? I am set apart to do whatever God wants because I'm surrendered to whatever God wants. Can you honestly stand before God tonight or kneel before Him and say, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want. If you're not, those are some things you need to consider. Number three, commitment in advance to do God's will. Commitment in advance. You don't know what the will of God is. No matter what it is, will you do it? Do you know that's one of the first questions I ask those that come in for marriage counseling? You know what it is? Are you willing to do it God's way? Inevitably, they will say yes. But then it gets difficult. And the only reason the will of God is difficult is because of our flesh. That's the only reason. Do you know that's the hardest part of the will of God is me? Not His will. It's my flesh that doesn't want to do what He's told me to do. But I have to surrender, commit, and I have to say, Lord, Thy will is my will, ever before I know what it is. You and I are not like Christ in that fashion. He knew where He was going. He knew He was going to the cross, right? And He surrendered to the will of God. Did he know that before He left heaven? So, in your life, you have to understand, Lord, it's Your will no matter what it is. Number four, you need to commit to seeking the Lord in prayer. And you need to be honest and open, and you need to seek Him with your whole heart. There's no way around that. Where do you get wisdom and understanding? From Him. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Number five, another thing to consider is circumstances. You need to be honest about your circumstances. God often sovereignly arranges circumstances. But you need to step back and evaluate them. Did you know that's exactly what happened in Acts 16 when Paul was trying to figure out where to go? Do you know how he knew to go to Philippi? Because he tried two other ways and God said, no, you're not. The Holy Spirit said, don't go that way. Don't go that way. So Paul finally just stopped and said, okay, Lord, what do you want us to do? Do you know what he did? He prayed, sought God, and then he considered the circumstances that were before him. Do you know Daniel had to do the same thing? He considered the circumstances that were before him. That's called providence, where God just works behind the scenes. And we know that he does that. Number six, you need counsel. And that needs to be godly counsel. Do you know why a lot of times plans get frustrated because you haven't sought godly counsel. Here's how do we majority of the time make our decisions? How we feel. Do you know that's a lot of times why people go to church? Because they feel like going to church. Not because it's the will of God, but because they feel like going. If you don't believe me, look around you. Why aren't they here tonight? They don't feel like coming to church. Do you know how many times I visited with somebody and that's literally what they told me? It's like, well, at least I'm getting honesty. I mean, we can come up with a lot of excuses. I'm just grateful that you're telling me the truth. I just don't want to go on Sunday nights. All right, thank you. I can pray for you. Again, godly counsel. And seek godly counsel. I'm shocked at how... I haven't had many come to me and ask me for advice. Ask for counsel. I've had it since I've been here in 6 years, maybe three. Maybe three people. So here's my question. Am I your pastor? Do you trust the counsel I'll give you from the Word of God? If you're not, then why am I your pastor? Why are you under it? Why are you there? So there, it raises some other questions for you. Well, you know, sometimes it's like, I know pastor's going to give me the Bible. I don't want to know that. And the reason I know that takes place is because someone said that. You're going to use the Bible. Hello? I don't want to know that. I want to know what you think. There's what I think. If my thoughts are contrary to this, you don't listen to what I think. You listen to the Bible. That's what you got to do. That's the will of God. Godly counsel. Do you know it would be really advisable for some of us, a lot of us, to go talk to that man right there? He's an elder man who has a lot of experience with the Lord. You, brother, a lot of experience with the Lord. It would be, again, you think about those who don't know situations and what's really going on, and you go talk with them. I'll bet you God will give them unique insights into your life that they don't even know, but God knows, and He's going to use them. But too often, we don't want to do that. We're like, I don't want to. Do it, man. Just lay it out there. Let God deal with it. Number 7, ready for this one? Common sense. Honestly, do you know some decisions are just so... It's so obvious. Why aren't you seeing it? Don't ignore your God-given ability to evaluate, to actually think through stuff. Do you know I look at every one of you and none of you are stupid? What I mean by that is you all have mental capacity to do some honest evaluation about your circumstances and situations. There are times when God's will may be contrary to common sense. For instance, a little boy given 5 loaves and 2 fishes and Jesus Christ feeding 5,000 by that. For Peter to get out of the boat in a hurricane. That's not normal. Most of us would do with what the other disciples did. We would stay in the boat, batten down the hatches, and grip for dear life. Not get out of the boat. Lord, can I come to you? I wonder how that conversation went. Why? You ever hear wind blowing real and the waves crashing? Tell me, how would you have to say that for Christ? Hey! Can I come to you? I think Jesus would only have to say, come. And He would have broke through all of that. He could have yelled at Peter. Yes! I don't know if He did. He could have. But again, common sense. And that is, most of the time, taking reasonable, rational thinking and thinking through your situation, God wants you to do that. Because if your heart is already consecrated to God, you know what's going to happen? You're going to make the godly decision. When you're surrendered to the Lord, God doesn't want you to check your brain at the door. He wants you to think. Do you know Christianity is a thinking religion? If you look at it as religion. It thinks. It evaluates. It's based on evidence and fact. And God wants you to think through and evaluate. So don't check your brain at the door. Number 8. Consider the leading of the Holy Spirit. You need to be surrendered and be led by the Spirit of God. And he's going to use the Word of God. He's going to use insights that you won't normally get, but the Holy Spirit will give it to you. That's why you need to maintain your relationship with him. Number 9, contentment. You need to be content with such things as you have. I didn't say that, God did. Do you know that? Contentment with godliness is? So then why do you need all this other stuff? Do you know the will of God is not credit card? And what I mean by that, don't misunderstand me, because there are believers, they're savvy businessmen, is that they get a lot of free miles based on their credit cards. They pay off their credit cards before the 30 days is up. They already have the money, but because they use that credit card, there's one of my friends, he has over 1 million sky miles. Tell me, how are you going to ever use up 1 million sky miles? That's a lot of sky miles. He could fly to Hawaii for free. Wouldn't you like that? Just think, everywhere you want to go in the world is for free. How would you like that one? I would like it, but the fact of the matter is most can't use that little piece of plastic safely. What do you mean? They'll use it when they don't have the money to pay for it. Here, do you know what that card is for the majority of people? You ready? It's the sin of presumption. Do you know why it's the sin of presumption? Because you presume you're going to be able to pay this off. Do you know that you can? So you better be careful about that little plastic card and not get into the sin of presumption. What will save a lot of problems in your life is just learn to be content. If you don't need it, don't go buy it. Learn delayed gratification. Do you know that's the will of God for your life is delayed gratification? You know it's not this. Oh, I need it and I need it now. Buy it on credit. You can buy furniture for 72 months. Do you really want to pay a couch for 72 months? How many years is that? Oh, no. 7 years. You want to pay for 7 years on a couch? 72 months. Amen. So here's what you don't want to do. Oh, my Bob. You don't want to do an oh my Bob on 72 months of credit. Do you know what your end price will be in paying for credit on a 72 month? Do you know what most credit cards are at right now? What is it at, Ron? 24 or above. I'm seeing now 28, 29%. Do you realize if you pay the minimum, you're never going to get it paid off. Do you know how many people think, I'll just pay the minimum? That is not the will of God for you. Why are you buying it on credit? Do you know if you just waited, God would somehow, if it's going to be there, God will provide the finances for it, or the desire will go away. The first thing is I'm surrendered and submitted, and I'm content with what God gave me. So, again, contentment. Number 10, and I'll go quick with these. Consistent gospel awareness. You should always be looking for opportunities because it's the will of God that you give out the gospel. Paul evaluated situations and decisions based on how they would impact the proclamation of the gospel. Did you know that? That's how he looked at things. Is how would this affect the gospel? If I do this, will this retract from somebody receiving the gospel? If I do this, is this going to advance the gospel and be able to create opportunities to give the gospel to somebody? Do you know when you have that mindset and you look at those things, it's amazing what God will do with that. Number 11, consequences. You better consider the consequences for whatever decision you make. You need to think about those. And number 12, committed stewardship. What do I mean by that? We are stewards of what God has entrusted us. That includes our time, that includes our treasures, that includes our talents, and the spiritual gifts that we have. Will the course of action I'm about to take, will it enhance God's thing in my life, or will it detract from it? So remember, if we're walking closely with the Lord, and we're desiring His will for our lives, you know what God's going to do? He's going to put in you the desires that He wants. He'll give you the desires of your heart so you can look and realize, oh, those are from God. Oh, those are from God. Oh, that's the direction God wants me to go. The key is doing it God's work, God's way, God's will. That's how it works. So I want you to right now, as we close this, to have honest evaluation. You all ready? I want you to just think between you and God right now with the questions I'm about to ask you when it comes to the will of God. Because remember, verse 17 says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And I ask you directly tonight, do you know what the will of God is for you? So let me ask you based on these things, do you do these things that we looked at? Those 10 or 11 things that we considered, do you do them? Are you doing the will of God from the heart? The Bible says to do it from the heart. Are you seeking and embracing the will of God? Do you want to know the will of God and you say, whatever it is, that's what I want to do, before you ever know the will of God? Let me go down this list very quickly. How's your consecration and surrender? How is your commitment? How is your relationship to the Holy Spirit? How is your gospel awareness? And how is your stewardship? Those are things for you to evaluate as you're considering the will of God for your life. If you will do verse 17, then every one of these should be evaluated in your heart and life on a regular basis. And you should say, God, search me and know me. Know my heart, try my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me. And again, I want to remind you, God wants you to know His will more than you want to know it. God wants you to do His will more than you probably and more than I probably want to do His will. But I'm grateful that there's a God in heaven who says, I want you to know my will. I want you to embrace my will. Can I tell you this, that the will of God is good? Did you know it's the best thing for you? Why do we have such a hard time with doing it? There's a one answer with that. F-L-E-S-H. Flesh. Done. Any questions on the will of God? Any questions on any of these things that we went over?